Hasselbeck under center. Gives to Marshawn Lynch again, and Marshawn Lynch able to get some positive yardage and breaks away across the 45, 50, 45, 40. Still on his feet, knocks a man down at the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seattle, 67 yards, and that might be the nail in the coffin.
Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hold off with that hammer. Don't put that nail in there yet, because he's rising up and he's back from the dead. Marshawn Lynch, or at least it sounds like he's going to be welcome.
Marshawn Lynch is dead?
Well, I mean, I was...
Football career-wise, I think. You
I
know,
was just kidding.
Metaphorical?
Oh, I thought you were being literal. Like, I wasn't aware. What, I mean, I saw him almost get hit by that bus in Scotland. You know, he certainly was toying with it.
Hey, welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program.
Hi, Dave,
presented by MeUndies, Studio 66. We're joined in here by two of our favorites, Matt Money Smith to my immediate left, to Matt Money Smith's immediate left, Cynthia Freeland. Freeland, you see her kibitzing about the draft on the network and NFL.com, so on and so forth. Same goes for Matt Money Smith. You can also check him out on iHeartRadio, Petros and Money Show, or if you happen to be in L.A., AM 570 is where to go. Always great fun, because I happen to be in the car for the afternoon drive. I can attest as
absolutely.
As
and
an
you have
almost
to, when
daily
you follow
listener,
him on Twitter, he's pretty good at being like good sarcastic on Twitter.
A little snarky. A few tweets.
Things. I say funny things on Twitter.
You do.
Don't patronize me. All right.
You invited the patronizing, and then you yelled at her for patronizing.
You know, that's right.
The funny part is, like during the season, Matt has so many different jobs that he doesn't get a chance to be as snarky on Twitter than the off-season, where he turns into snarky Matt Money Smith.
It's just a couple.
You're just constant snark. So, Matt ebbs and flows, and you kind of keep it.
Snark to me, even though this isn't literally so, if you look it up in Merriam-Webster, I think snark always seems to lack wit, right? Just mean-spirited.
You think it's just straight meanness. Yeah.
I'm not that
Although
way.
Although I think most people believe, like when I hear the term snark, I guess in my mind's eye, I visualize Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. Like, to me, that is the definition of the perfect amount of snark.
That's a good one.
We have a lot to get to. Not a ton of time to get to it. Also, be on the lookout this weekend for our third installment of the 5 weekly questions. In season, I think we'll go to 5. We'll do it daily, but for now, only once a week. I think it comes out on Saturday on Snapchat. I believe Matt Money Smith and I will tackle the 5 big questions of the week. We'll see if Cynthia Freeland can free up her fancy schedule to join us that one. In the meantime, let's say hello to Matt Money Smith.
You know, properly.
You know, he is a good Twitter follower right now, because the NBA playoffs are nigh. I'm sure he'll have some interesting
For those
insight.
Watching the video feed, look what I'm doing right now.
No one's watching the video feed.
We're both going to do it.
Oh, yeah, we got fancy new mugs. Just in time for
audio-only
podcast.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, speaking of audio-only podcast,
you gotta be kidding me.
I paid my bi-monthly visit to the Adam Carolla show and visited with Carolla and Company.
I love it.
A gay time is always in there. We broke down some some song lyrics. Maybe we'll have time to do that today, Money. I'd love to get your thoughts on
Did you do any REM? I know it's one of your favorite bands, just celebrating that anniversary.
I issued my rankings, of course. I'm an amateur compared to you, a guy who worked in the music industry, Money. Did I get it right? The greatest REM record of all time?
I saw the tweet. I would flip your 1 and 2.
I debate. You know what? Month to month, it changes.
I think
sometimes it's document.
Those are the two.
Life's Rich Pageant.
Yeah.
And I think you have to make room for Reckoning in there, too.
I think those are without question the top three, but I'm with you. I think you're right. Depending on what kind of mood you're in, it's one of those two. It's Life's Rich Pageant or Document. I just believe front to back, if you're going for quality plus quantity, I think you're probably 3 to 4 songs deeper on Document, I would submit.
Both strong choices. Yeah. Cynthia Freeland, in the meantime, representative of much of the audience, I imagine. You've never heard of REM.
Oh, that was the first concert I ever went to.
Is that true?
Smelled like skunks in there.
Was it really? R.E.M. was your first concert?
That was my first concert.
That's what
your,
my little sister Debbie said in 1979 when we sat out in the Fenway Park bleachers. How come it smells funny? It's like a skunk kind of like smoke out here, Mom.
Yes, it is.
Next time Marianne Freeland's on the show, you got to ask her what her response to me was when I said, why did it smell like skunks, Mom?
Why don't you just
bunch of hippies.
Chase and tell us? What?
I mean, she basically said, accused me of miss-smelling. She's like,
really?
No, that's not what, no,
wait a second now. Your mother took you to your first concert? That seems...
She dropped me off and picked me up.
Oh, dropped you off and picked you up.
Right. I couldn't drive yet. She dropped me off and picked me up, and we were like, why did it smell like skunk? She's like, you guys must have been sitting next to some stinky people. Mm-hmm. It was all people.
I know you're going to get to some kid issues on the podcast, so I'll just share this, because I did have this moment with my oldest daughter, who is visiting colleges right now, and we were up at Cal. And if anyone has ever been to Berkeley, it truly is just a dichotomy of that city. When you're on campus, it is the cleanest, most beautiful, upwardly mobile, preppy, you know, extremely smart kids. It's probably the top public university in the nation. And then the second you step off, it is Berkeley, you know, that you come to know. And so as we're walking down one of the streets there, my daughter says, what is that smell? And I said, oh, that's marijuana. There's people smoking weed out here. And she's like, really? Just like right at her? I said, yeah, I want you to take a look around. You know, remember what you saw on campus there and what those people look like. I want you to take a look around on this street here and you tell me, what are they doing there? little teaching moment for the old man trying to plant that seed.
Well done, Matt Moneysmith. Yeah. Father of a young person. That's very nice. I do always like when there's a college football game up there and the field reporter gets sent up into the hills and the trees. And there are actual students up there watching the games burning tree looking down onto the field. That's an experience.
Well, they used to, you know, before the remodel, they used to live in those trees. And they used to relieve themselves in those trees.
Really?
Yes. And when the field reporters would go up there, sometimes they would have a little target practice.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Like it was, you will hear terrible stories about what life was like when they had to do a game at Cal, and they would venture up into that area.
All right. We have a lot of football to talk about.
Sorry.
We have the game of life to talk about. I have a parental question for you, Matt Moneysmith, and Cynthia Freeland, if you please. First, though, let's hear it. Let's rejoice. Dance if you wish. It's Matt Moneysmith, everybody.
Skinny legs, a golden voice, a play-by-play analyst. Matt Moneysmith, got bad eyesight.
I do.
He's a Chicago guy, and he hosts the NFL Fantasy Live.
Hey! Matt Money, skateboarded ass.
There it
kid.
Is, a little
Matt
more rocking.
Oh, yeah.
He's on with Dan Mashek.
Wow.
He's Matt Money.
There we go.
I like that.
Dick Banks going a little heavy with that bass line.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, by the way, Dick Banks, the one-man house band, great lover of golf, so much so that he will sit there and watch Masters players from the practice tee at the driving range. Do you do that too, Money? He's doing it right now. Who's going to win? It's Thursday. It's already underway, so nobody can take it to the book.
Careful. You got me here, too. I like this.
You were tweeting about some advanced stats about the wind and who that favors.
I do a
– The wind, Freeland.
I do a Masters.
The wind favors somebody.
Oh, yeah. The wind. You got to be able to move
that
ball both ways.
Too.
In the UK when it's time for the Open, but not Masters.
We'll see. We'll see if the afternoon scores today are really bad compared to the morning scores. I think this is a Rory. I really do. I feel good about Rory. The fact that the greens got soaked like crazy yesterday is going to help him out a lot. He can move the ball both ways. He's a big hitter. Bombers usually win the Masters. Now, the rain does neutralize some of that and brings a lot more people into the field. But, yeah, if I was forced, which you're forcing me to do right now, I'd go Rory
McIlroy.
You
know what the Masters needs? It needs a big name to win it. Who are these people? I defy anybody who claims themselves
a golf
fan.
Before that, though, it was Bubba. So you had a couple Bubbas. You had two Bubbas in there, which helped a lot.
I guess I haven't been paying that much attention.
Yeah. Will it last year? But that's only because Jordan Spieth had a meltdown.
There's some weird one winning. Who was the Charl guy?
Charles Schwartzel. Yeah, Mike Weir win it. Zach Johnson won it. And that's what happens. Like, when weather comes in, these sort of random dudes.
So Augusta, they have a second cut, but the rough isn't like a rough on other courses, like on those British courses like you're talking about. So you want to go – you can favor a long driver, someone – you can use your irons, long driving, and – that because they don't get as punished if they don't end up going perfectly
blow the hell
straight,
out of the ball.
Right? So just distance, go for it. So par five scoring is important. Scrambling is important when the wind happens like this. And you're right that you kind of get like an interesting set of who wins. However, the rookie hasn't won since 1979. And I think this year we could have
doing.
Some rookie.
She's going
rookie.
John Rahm.
I like me some John Rahm.
What would you rather win? A gold jacket that gives you entrance to the Pro Football Hall of Fame or a green jacket to Augusta?
Well, I'm a woman, so it's probably unlikely that I could win either. I would rather have a Pro Football Hall of Fame.
See, I think I'd
don't
go,
put that ceiling on yourself there, sister.
I think I'd go
I'd go green. You know why? Because you can get into the Hall of Fame without having won a Super Bowl. But if you have the green jacket, you've won the Masters. So.
Good point. It's a good point. I also like being outside a lot, so golf's good.
What's the best sports booty out there? Is it the gold jacket, the green
Stanley
jacket,
Cup.
The Heisman
Stanley
Trophy?
Cup.
Stanley Cup.
I say Stanley Cup.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I should remind, when the playoffs start, remind me to tell my annual yarn about drinking from the Stanley Cup. Iron City beer at that, like 2:30 a.m. in a Pittsburgh bar, 1992-ish, 91-ish maybe.
It's a good thing it's beer with like alcohol in it because that just grosses me out. That tradition grosses me out.
No, it's terrific.
I like the my favorite ones are the guys that get it for the day, the cereal. I love the idea of eating Fruit Loops or Apple Jacks or Honeycomb.
With their baby in there.
I like when they put dogs or babies in it.
As a soup enthusiast, I might declare the Shecky Award winner.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. It's a five-bean soup. Your 2017 Shecky Award winner out of the Stanley Cup. Hey, enough with the nonsense.
All right.
It's all prelude. We've been waiting for this for some time. We have had the song for a while. Now the accompanying video. What will we do with this MVP to make sure people can see it
if they're listening
to us right now?
It'll be on NFL.com/GDFP.
Okay, so
we'll tweet out
the video, and I dare say I've gotten a sneak peek.
Did you really?
Hey, I'm excited.
It's very strong.
I might cry.
Well, it's cinematic.
I might cry.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Cynthia Freeland's new intro song. Accompanied by video.
Ah! It's Marianne's daughter here to steal the show. Back in the day, she had a mullet with the funky flow. Running marathons for her fitness goals. On the DDF. She got the stat control. Cause when it comes to the numbers, she's a gunslinger. She do the math in her head, she don't count fingers. No one to question the numbers, surely waste to you. She's from Michigan, yo, it's Cynthia.
What the hell?
I mean,
why is that so much better than everything else?
That's the best thing that the Dave Damashek football program's ever put together. I mean, it is.
It was a short film.
That is, yes.
It could win an Oscar.
Who did that? Mick G?
Where did that come from, MVP?
Heaven. It came straight from heaven.
Experts. Yeah. Todd Metcalf. Todd. Then we had some great editors. Leland Russell.
I said McG. It was McC.
You know,
that's who put that
like
together.
That
is impressive.
That's a passive-aggressive attack on the person whose name is on the show.
Yeah.
Why hasn't anything like that happened for me?
Hey, Dave, just so you know.
When's it my
Dave,
turn?
Hey, there is an intro coming for you.
Oh, yeah. I've heard it. It's incredible.
How about that?
It got stuck in my head, too.
That's exciting. What do you think, Freeland?
I feel like I should be like I don't know who to buy right hand thank you notes to buy some
that's awesome, really
cool, so good.
Good for you. Now you have that for all of
them.
Time.
I know
now that belongs to you. Quick question now.
So
I said I wanted to ask a parental one, and then I promise some pro football talk.
But, I'm really good at parental questions because I have a lot of experience here.
This past weekend, I took the older kids to one of those bouncy houses. Not bouncy houses. One of those things that has the
big air,
the mats embedded into the ground. You know, the
Sky Zone. Sky Zone big air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And actually, we went to one in Woodland Hills, California, and it was called Sky High, I think.
Yep.
And, Keyshawn Johnson was there. And my daughter, baby Oprah, you know, now just about 10 years old, you know, I said, that guy, you know, he played for USC. And she said, oh, my classmates, they love USC football. They'll be jealous. I want to go say hi to him. So she did. And he couldn't have been more gracious, which was very nice.
That's great.
He's awesome.
Of Keisha.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he was very pleasant to her, which I appreciate. So always easy. It takes the same amount of energy to be nice as it does to be a jerk to people when they do something.
There is Keyshawn 0% jerk.
Well,
I've seen money. You should see the way. I mean,
I'm the worst.
Dozens and dozens. When people come, you walk the streets in any football town with Matt Money Smith. Oh, they come.
They do.
Gaggles.
I just swat them away. Leave me alone. Excuse I've got me, business to tend to.
Trying to have a meal.
Actually, I was on the plane back with, or I was going through security with Deion at the same time after the combine. People were creepy.
Deion like, who?
Sanders. Oh. And that people were trying to touch his stuff, and he got like randomly dinged for the extra screening, and people were like staring at his bag like they wanted to touch it. Oh. So I went over and guarded it. I felt like I had to because
touch his bag.
I so creepy. They just wanted a little like yeah. they just wanted a little. It was ugh, don't.
They
do that.
Got it. I think out of context. That's a nice drop for us there. That you.
They just wanted to.
They
touch
wanted
it.
To touch his bag.
Yeah.
Thinking the same thing.
They did, but it was so creepy. They were eyeing it like kind of.
I can
like,
understand Deion Warwick, but man, not Deion Sanders.
I was just
do
like,
"Do you know the way to San Jose?" La 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 la. A contemporary of Deion Warwick's, Don Rickles, sad to say, died on Thursday at the age of 90. Really, one of the real legends.
And you had a relationship with him?
No, I didn't.
Well, I mean, he was around when you were working with Kimmel. He was around
Dad,
a lot, wasn't
Kimmel
he?
Kimmel and Sal and those guys. Yeah, actually, did break bread with him and Jimmy. As he's done. I mean, I talk about wish fulfillment as a career. Kimmel has now his favorite singer, Huey Lewis. Yep. He's performed with him.
You and I were
any number of times
at that birthday party where Huey Lewis was in shooting baskets. I was shagging.
I was
shagging rebounds for Huey Lewis because I'm one of my music heroes.
Amazing.
Yes, Jimmy is a good person to know when it comes to those.
Then Kimmel's favorite radio, his all time legends are David Letterman. Early in his career, he gets to be on the Letterman show. That now he's such good pals with Howard Stern, his role model on the radio, and performance philosophy and all that. Now he goes up the Hamptons.
With
Howard. Let me get back to my question five minutes ago.
I understand.
When's it Damashek's turn already? When do I get some sunshine?
It's coming, Dave. It's coming down the pipe.
Maybe the next lifetime. So anyway, we're at this bouncing thing. They're bouncing around. They love it. And one of the events you can do in there is dodgeball. And they're rotating the kids through there and everything. And I find it occurred to me, and it caused me to reflect back on my elementary school days when dodgeball was the thing. It really reveals one's character early in age. Dodgeball, for some reason, more than other sports. Is it right? I commended both my kids because I was watching them independent of each other, and they both, when the referee guy didn't see that the other person had caught the ball, on the other side caught one of their throws, they still dutifully turned and walked off. They didn't need to be told. Meantime, other kids in
rampant
there,
cheating.
Cheat!
Rampant.
The ref didn't see them catch it. Did he see it? They looked. Oh, no, he didn't see it. I'm good. I'm going to stay out here. Or did I get nicked with that one? Yeah, I just got nicked with that one, but the ref didn't see it, so I'm staying out here. My kids always tuck tail and walk off. Are they too law-abiding? Especially in a time, money, in the 21st century here in 2017, all rules of the U.S. of A. have been thrown out the window by Mitch McConnell and beyond.
Oh, I thought you were going to go LPGA. I thought that's where you were going with that, not Mitch McConnell.
I don't care. But by the way, what did Al Franken?
The nuclear option.
When Al Franken paid us a visit on the show, fellow senator, arch rival, though, of Mitch McConnell, I asked him, Mitch McConnell just seems like he must be a lot of fun to be around. I asked Al Franken about that.
It's a good question.
We debate on the floor, but then afterwards go out to dinner, and no one laughs harder than Mitch at my...
it's
a different job.
I thought you were being serious. Yeah. See, Al knew it. Al said, I imagine he has a real wit when you take him away from the political.
It is one of the most accurate and awkward. This is a guy that looks like a blank in all the world, that Mitch McConnell looks like a turtle.
He really does.
I mean, he really does. There is something about the shape of his nose, the soft jaw. The not even really double chin, but the way the skin attaches from his neck to his chin. I mean, he looks like a turtle. A turtle in human form.
Many people agree. You know what I realized?
Proves evolution's real.
There
you know
go.
Who he looks
Let's
like.
Get to the Galapagos.
It's kind of freaky given the nuclear option and all that. He looks very much like Slim Pickens, who rides the warhead at the end of Dr. Strangelove.
Yes.
If only that's
down.
The continental U.S. underneath Slim Pickens there, that may be that may have foretold
a nuclear option in a figurative sense.
There you go. That's the American way. Goodbye, Slim Pickens / Mitch McConnell. Hey, anywho.
Wait, I feel like I still didn't give any advice.
Yes, go
oh,
ahead.
For dodgeball.
Give me the advice, yes.
I mean,
is that right, or should I encourage them? Listen, you got to listen.
Just stay
life,
out there.
Life ain't giving you any breaks. You got to make your own.
No, you have to tell – they have to do the right thing. But the opportunity you did miss was to make your daughter go up to Keyshawn Johnson and say, throw me the damn ball. Because that's the real thing you did wrong. Parenting 101 here would dictate you should take that opportunity, because at some point that's a way better story than just like, I shook his hand. Wah. Throw me the damn ball.
This kind of sounds like a humble brag, but I sincerely mean it is not intended this way. My daughter met Willie McGinnis, and Willie said, I love this girl, because she said, oh, well, you know, I want to take a picture with you. Patriots, my schoolmates are payout. Willie, now she and Willie McGinnis.
Are chums?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care for it.
The innocence of children.
I
right?
told her not to shake. I forbade it, and she did it anyway.
You're just afraid that she's not going to be a Steelers fan is really what's going on here.
I mean, yeah,
that's a good observation.
I really think that your that is angst here is coming from the
There's
fear.
One thing with them being with my kids being Rams or Bolts fans. It's an entirely different matter if they decide to jump on the bandwagon and ride the
20%. But Willie's pretty charming.
I don't want to talk about it.
I did, by the way, speaking of this real quick.
Am I supposed to cheat or not? Are they supposed to
encourage them? Cheating. No cheating. You know, just make your kids be more athletic than everyone else.
Brady Anderson has millions more in his bank account for generations to come because he had 50 home runs.
You know who has?
Because he juiced up. Am I supposed to discourage that?
Yes.
Every other kid out there is cheating. You know, it's like the old Dr. Spock philosophy on raising your kids. It's not what's right or wrong. It's kind of like, what is the societal norm? You don't want to be outside of the societal norm. That's when your kids have issues because they're being treated different than the rest of their peer group.
That's true. I did go to elementary school with a girl whose mom insisted on dressing her in colonial wear. Like, it's not.
I didn't expect that.
No.
Of all things.
Powdered wigs and everything?
No, like, no wig, but like everything else. And her grandfather was buried in the backyard. It was not an easy life.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Holy cow.
It was
serious. That's certainly outside of the.
Here's a wooden one to replace it. Hey, MVP, we hear Cynthia Freeland's time is running short. What do we need to get to before she walks?
I mean, you got a whole list there on the rundown. You can choose maybe something.
Don't pass the buck. I want to know. Why don't you make a decision?
Why don't we let Cynthia decide?
You're the head writer.
Why don't we let Cynthia decide what she's weighing in? We got the rundown.
What football topic do you want to talk about?
I think that I kind of like the Bears topic.
Okay, let's do Bears. But before we do that.
The Bears.
Before we get into the Chicago Bears half empty, half full, as we're doing with all 32 NFL teams here in the offseason, evaluating where they stand between 16 and 2017, MVP, give us a surprise game show. I like where this one has a potential to go here.
All right.
Matt Money Smith.
We're bringing it back here.
I said he's a sage on any manner of subjects.
That's not true.
He's way older than Cynthia Freeland.
I am.
But Cynthia Freeland fancies herself.
I'm an old soul.
This should be up your alley.
I'm an old soul.
She's got a big brain.
Yeah, right.
I don't have any space.
I have facts.
I don't have any space in my brain for politics. I fill it all up with useless other stuff. So I actually
let's see how much useless crap you know. MVP, today's question. And am I a participant in this game?
You are, yeah.
Oh, right. I forget how these go. All
so
right.
This is, can you name a quarterback who started at least 100 games for each team in the NFL?
Nope.
Start?
All right. Who starts?
Can I get a number? Can I ask one clue? How many have done it? Is it a big list?
It's a big list.
Okay.
Really? Like more than 20 on there?
Yes.
All okay, right. We'll start with Matt Money Smith.
Phillip Rivers.
These are all-time QBs, obviously.
Yes. Can't
just be current.
Right.
Tom Brady.
100 games. 16 goes into 100. See, like that. Freeland's got that already. Six. Yeah.
Well,
six times.
That's 96.
So if you make six seasons, so that's
well,
the way
and then
you
like
do
the playoff, you'd
that
have to
makes
go to
it a lot
four
easier.
Times.
Yeah,
that was
right,
helpful.
You know what? I'll go with.
I got another one.
Why don't I just start off with Terry Bradshaw? Oh my God, that weight seemed to.
So you can't.
You want to get the first one out of the way?
Only wait here. I got to look.
It's all time.
Now you can't use another Steelers one.
Why not? Why can't I do that?
Okay. I thought you meant for the. Okay, got it.
Well, since you took the Steelers, I'm just going to put Tommy Maddox to the side here and go Drew Brees.
Eli Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's the easy one. John Elway.
Marina. What? Who's back there? Getting orders.
I like hearing that. How about this one, guys? Carson Palmer.
That's a good one. Well, it has to be the same team, though, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not. No,
Bengals.
Maybe not.
Come on. Give it to me.
She
Give it to me.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I was trying to get cute. I was trying to get cute, and it
not
bit me.
Too quick. That's how you.
Wow. I would have thought for sure he had 96 games with the Bengals.
No.
See, I tried to get cute, and it bit me.
Yeah, go ahead, Cynthia Freeland.
Let that be a lesson to you kids. God, I can rattle off 10 right now.
Tony Romo? Did he do 100?
He had to have. He got hurt a lot, but he had to. I mean, 14 seasons. Yeah. You know what? Just to shame Matt Money Smith a little bit, or to stick it to him a little bit. How about Kenny Anderson?
Ah, easy. I'm out.
Oh, you're
this
out?
This is a game. This is game show here.
Can you help me cheat?
No.
Please.
There's nothing you can think of anybody.
I thought you were okay with cheating, as long as it's a social norm.
Only for children.
Fine. I'll take you both on. That's fine. Fine. You guys can.
Good. We're a team.
I'll show my powers.
I defer to my teammate.
Ooh,
like
Matt Money Smith and Cynthia Freeland are so smart. What a credit they are to the broadcasting profession. Dumb Dave doesn't know nothing about nothing.
I mean, really?
He doesn't get videos made.
I don't even know who that is filing the complaint. But.
Sid Luckman.
Oh, that's a good one.
What team?
Chicago Bears. What? He was on the Bears for 30 years.
Sorry. Yeah, but they only played like 1.5 games a year.
I mean, the only one I had was Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre's
one.
That's the only one I had in the tank there.
How about Aaron Rodgers?
How about Johnny Unitas?
Yeah.
Unitas. That's a good one. How about Archie Manning? Did he have... Just kidding.
How about Joe Ferguson? Joe Ferguson certainly did it. Jim Kelly did it.
Jim Kelly, that one. That's a good one.
Did I say Namath? Namath.
Warren Moon.
Richard Todd probably came close, but I'm not going to say him. Here's another one. Snake Stabler. Dan Fouts.
Yeah.
Did Roethlisberger do it? Did we not say him?
Roethlisberger has to have done it.
Okay. I'm at least contributing.
Yeah.
Mine are more, you know.
I'm going through the – now I have to do it by division. Bernie Kosar had to have done it.
Things are fun.
I'm trying to think if would Sipe done it?
No. See, I was just thinking Sipe, and I'm going to say no.
All right, I'm going to avoid him. And Otto Graham with the AAFL.
Yeah.
How
about Steve Young?
Asterisk,
you think
there.
Steve Young did it for the Niners?
It's a fun one.
Yeah, Steve Young. Yes.
Let's go. You know what? So. Let's keep that roll going with another lefty of that era. Boomer Esiason.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, so that's that division. Flacco has been it. You know what? I'm going to say Joe Flacco.
Well done.
I'm clean, by the way. I'm clean here. Steve McNair probably did it.
That's going to be
the
close.
The Titans?
Boy.
He probably.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. How about Jim McMahon? That's going to be close. Yeah.
You know who did do it, though? Mark Brunell.
Wow, look at that.
What a roll.
That is impressive.
This is a great, great roll, Damashek.
Did we already do Archie Manning?
I said it.
You did? Okay.
But I don't know if there was a ding or not.
All right, we have for the Chiefs, certainly Lenny Dawson did it. I said Fouts.
What about the Berg?
I don't know about Bill DeBerg. Bill Kenny, I bet, took a run at it but didn't get there.
Give me DeBerg.
I am not officially saying Bill Kenny. That is not on my list.
Oh, you're halfway.
I'm contemplating aloud.
He just wanted him to be clean.
Yeah.
Oakland, did I say Snake Stabler?
No,
did you acknowledge Snake?
Yeah, Snake's a no-brainer.
Okay. Who else would have been there? Gannon, he wouldn't have gotten there, I don't think, with the Raiders.
You think Baby Hands Craig got 100 in there for the Seahawks?
That's a horrible name.
He definitely did. He played like 10 years at least.
Exactly.
I wonder, I'm tempted to say Jim Zorn, but I'm going to jump over to the other side. So the Dallas Cowboys, Staubach,
yeah. You think Danny White?
Aikman for sure.
How about White? You think White's got 100?
100.
No.
Ah, Skins Theismann did it.
I was about to, that's the one, because I was going by.
Definitely not Jorgensen.
I mean, the guy who's interesting is Sammy Baugh.
What? Jorgensen's a yes? How about that?
Nice.
Man, this is tougher than I thought. I'm terrible at this game.
Eagles, Jaws.
What about Randall?
I'm going to go. Oh, you're giving it to him.
Giving him Jaws. How about Randall?
Oh,
yeah,
Randall.
Randall's a yes.
He has to.
Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, wow.
Now that I'm thinking of Randall.
Right.
Phil Sims.
Yep.
Well, it's not that bad when you think it's six seasons. If you play six full seasons, you get close.
You're welcome.
But also keep in mind, I would have eventually figured the math out.
Oh, Donovan McNabb.
14 games. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You think Culpepper did 100 for the Vikings?
Ooh, that's
going to be borderline.
That's a close one.
Yeah, that's going to be close.
Matt Money has all the stinking thoughts. Damashek.
Yeah.
Christine. NFC South, so you got Breeze.
We got Breeze. We got Archie.
Steve Bartkowski certainly did it.
Bartkowski for what Falcons could be on there?
You
Matty
know,
Ice?
You know, it's a pretty interesting name.
Did Matt Ryan get it?
Ice has to do it. Ice did it. You know who's pretty close is Cam. How many seasons is he through? Six.
2011. Is his he was 20?
So he's six seasons through.
Yeah, he's six seasons through. So it's a no.
No, six or 12. Yeah, 12. Because he's on. Yeah. He's on his second deal. So
and he's missed a few games.
Yeah.
And we say Rodgers did get it.
Yeah.
Rodgers got it. Vikings, Tarkenton,
Lions.
No Bear. You know, how long was Cuddy in Chicago? Not long enough.
No way.
He didn't play enough. He got hurt a lot.
No way.
Cuddy did do it.
At the
Cuddy
Bears?
Did it. And no Tebow. No Tebow anyway. You know who's another Patriot? Steve Grogan did it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, MVP checks it, nods in agreement, then hits the ding button.
There's no Lion.
I wonder if this is remotely entertaining.
There's a Lion.
Audience.
No, I'm going to say no.
Who
you
is
think
it?
None of us. I'd
Can't
say
be
no.
Batch.
No, people are
because they're yelling at their device.
You,
of
so
choice.
You think it's not so officially radio maestro, legend of the 21st century on the airwaves, Matt Money Smith? Should I continue to do these little games or no?
I don't. I personally don't believe trivia plays because I think you end up leaving so many more people out than you include.
But this isn't – I would agree if I said, who's the only man
right.
to do this?
That's
one thing.
That's the
this
trick
listing
here.
Thing, you can play from home.
And it is a football podcast. People are consuming this. It is – well, it is the game of life. It is certainly football-centric. So I think you can get away with this one. Because everyone's going through their favorite team right now cataloging.
I'm going to do
– Wait, I want to know who
you're
the
gonna
go
I'm
going to
get wild
one
here.
More
Matt Stafford – Gary Danielson, and I'm going to push my luck, and I'm going to go Eric Hipple. Oh, Bobby Lane did it for the Lions for sure.
Listen, Stafford.
I'm out. I'm not hanging my head on that performance.
Well done.
Damashek is the winner. Going away. Both should be ashamed.
I have to go do this thing, and I'll be right back.
All right.
That'll be it. Clothing change.
That'll be fun. Well,
then you'll see it on Friday at the Magic of TV.
Excellent. What are you off to do there, Cynthia Freeland?
Path
to the draft on Friday. Mm-hmm. Look for it on NFL Network. There she goes.
Don't
Cynthia
tell anyone
Freeland.
That it was,
we're going to be
done,
done
today.
Before you,
you
get
take
back.
That smooth path, that asphalt. We'll stay over here on the rocky road.
Matt Money Smith, who is the funniest comedian alive today? We've lost Rickles.
Oh, boy. I am not a big comedian guy, I'll be honest with you. I know that's kind of weird to say. Who would ever say that? But I'll tell you, I like Bill Burr.
He's very good.
He's very good. What's the Reagan?
C.K.
Reagan. What's the guy's name? Regan.
Oh, Bill Regan. Brian Regan. Yeah.
Brian Regan is really, really good.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the impressive thing about him is he doesn't curse. You know, that's
and he's been around for 30 years.
Forever, and he is still great. And then there's the one guy from Australia. Who am I forget? What's his name? Those are probably my top three. See, I'm not a big comic guy, and I pull out Regan and Burr.
What's that guy's name? Jim Jeffries.
Jim Jeffries. Those are probably my three favorite.
Mark Brady behind the glass with the
How about you, Shaq?
I'm boring. I probably have to go Louis C.K.
He's great.
Think you're overthinking it otherwise. I mean, he's a wizard.
I think Regan's
– He's great.
I really do.
He's
I think great. He is the best. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like cherry picking to say, like, hey, name successful musicians and saying Justin Timberlake.
Right.
Let's go off the board a little bit there. Speaking of that money, as we jump into this half empty, half full with the Chicago Bears, you also, as I mentioned already, are a deep music knowledge. We did a little music draft here on the show recently. What would be your first five selections if you're filing away songs? You're drafting them. No one else can have them.
Or artists?
Songs.
Songs.
Give us two.
All right, two. It's not.
And this doesn't get to go on forever. This isn't Spotify where you can just endlessly add to your playlist. You have a finite number.
I have a very odd
12 songs. Yeah, let's make it.
My favorite band is the Grateful Dead, and I have a very odd favorite Grateful Dead song. Not a lot of people cite Dire Wolf as their favorite Dead tune, but it is mine. So that would probably be my number one.
My favorite, Box of Rain.
Love Boxer Rain.
Boxer Rain, top five, that's coming with me. Okay. If I'm taking five, so if I'm taking 12 songs with me off onto the island or into my car to drive around post-apocalyptic world like Chuck Heston and Omega Man, and I'm the only
Boxer
one here
Rain's
in the tons, Boxer Rain's
yeah.
in the car.
I think of that whole record, of that American Beauty record that tends to be the one that most people know from the dead, I think I'd take Ripple instead of Boxer Rain, personally.
From the Mars Hotel. People always say, oh, you got to see the, you had live to see the dead Mars live Hotel. Or they're no good. But Mars Hotel is a good audio listen.
So yeah, and I, I'm probably going to take a couple dead. So I'll take, I will take the 1990, or was it 91? I feel terrible because it was the last performance by Brent Midland before he OD'd. His Fire on the Mountain was my favorite. He and Jerry doing Fire on the Mountain was something special. I was at that show at Tinley Park. So I take that. My favorite other band right next to
that. Same tour. I went the year after when Bruce Hornsby filled in for
Brent.
For Brent.
And I saw those Silver Bowl shows at in Vegas. I went to all three of those. My other favorite band, speaking to the Dick Banks and my love of punk rock.
Your own song. Your theme song.
No.
Song. How? So can you imagine?
I am now going to hop over to the hardcore punk rock street and my favorite band, Naked Ray Gun from Chicago, and probably take, of all the Ray Gun songs, I'd probably end up taking either Vanilla Blue or Rat Patrol would be one of those two I would take.
Such a funny place to see a show, the Cubby Bear,
yes.
Right? I mean, literally just about in the shadow of Wrigley Field, Caddy Corner.
Saw Naked
from
Reagan
the
at the
southwest corner of Wrigley Field there. And I saw Fishbone just before things went sideways for them.
Yep.
And I had no expectation. I went there. In fact, they opened for De La Soul.
Okay.
And so I was excited to see the headliner. And I said, let's get in there and see Fishbone. I hear they're great live
Fantastic.
Band. I mean, it's one of the top three or four live shows I've ever
seen. Saw
Fishbone
at the Metro on the Truth and Soul Tour in
Chicago.
I mean,
they were something. Now you could go see him. I think they still are kicking.
He lost his mind.
Yeah, he's crazy.
And
the front man, the bald front man with the little
Gosh, why can't I remember his name, though? Shame on me.
I saw him just before the split of their
That'd be an interesting
creative
one.
Mastermind.
Ma and Pa would be an interesting one to take with you from Fishbone. That's a good I would get stuck. Like I would be the Minnesota Vikings, and people would be passing me over during the draft because I'd be thinking too hard of what I wanted to do.
Yeah, it's the draft's on my brain right now. Maybe Money and I will do a little draft on this week's five questions. We tackle the game of football, but as always, the more important game, the game of life. But back to pro football, the Chicago Bears. Matt Money Smith happens to be a Chicago native. It's come up on the show any number of times. By the way, you don't root for any baseball team, do you?
I do for the Dodgers a little bit because our radio station carries them. My daughters love going to baseball games. And so, I guess this is a humble brag. We have access and the kids get to go on the field during batting practice. So to see the kids light up, when Justin Turner comes out of the dugout and sees them and they get all excited, that just changes your allegiances like that. And last year, I grew up in Chicago. My grandmother raised me. We watched Cub games together every day at 2:20 p.m. when I got out of school, and I had nothing. And I was desperately trying to find
really,
the emotion to root for the Cubs, and I was cheering for the Dodgers because I'm in the room with the kids, and they're excited when Justin Turner hits that home run. And, my allegiances have totally shifted.
I completely hear you. And me and Jean-Claude Van Damischek and I are going to his first NHL hockey game. It's the Flames and the Kings in Staples Center Thursday night as the season winds down. I'm very excited. He's over the moon with anticipation for it. In the back of my head, though, I have a feeling he's going to vibe to the Kings.
Yeah, that's what happened.
They're going to score some goals, and then he's going to hear the crowd cheering. He's going to want to be a part of that.
It became a radio bit for us. My mother's contempt for me when I was cheering for the Kings when they and the Blackhawks were tangling. I mean, she was legitimately upset. I would take screenshots of her texts to me and share them on Twitter, and you could see the disgust. Like how after the Kings win, I would just send her a little text like "Kings win," and she would reply, "Shut up." It was pretty great.
I'm on your mom's side. Yeah. You got to get everybody's mom on the show. Ike's mom, Money's mom. That'll be a great gathering. When is Mother's Day? Maybe we could line it
it's
up
coming
around
up.
That. All right, let's get to
All
it.
Right.
Half empty, half full. Chicago Bears. A sorry 2016. I suspect a brighter 2017 lay dead ahead. I really do. Like, yeah. if you were paying attention, the defense started to show some signs of life in the second half of 2016. You know about Jordan Howard.
Had a great year. That offensive line is good. They don't really have any receivers. You know, if you're banking on Kevin White and Cameron Meredith, and like that, that's the one concern, I guess.
Wouldn't a team like the Rams, though, you know, do anything to have that, to have those receiver issues? I know that's damning with faint praise, but if Kevin White can finally deliver on the reason.
And we think about how excited, you know, our buddy Daniel Jeremiah was about Kevin White coming out of West Virginia. I'm going to go half full, just based on, you know, what I shared the first time we did this, which is, do I think they finish higher?
In their division standings.
And I don't know if they're the worst team in the North anymore. I don't. I think with Jordan Howard, with that defense, you know, I suspect they'll draft Malik Hooker, Jamal Adams, Jonathan Allen. I think a player that'll have an Marshawn Lattimore that'll have an immediate impact. And like you said, that defense was pretty good last year. Pernell McPhee looks good. You know, it mentioned that he thought he was carrying too much weight. You saw him flexing out his abs, freaking out, getting ready. John Fox seems to, and Vic Fangio, I mean, they're pretty good coaches. So, yeah, I'll go half full, even
Foxy
with Mike Glennon.
Now there's at least enough evidence in his stops around the NFL that this seems like he's going to, at minimum, get them to playing sound defense, and they're going to play it his old school kind of way. They're going to be able to make some hay with Jordan Howard running behind what you rightly describe as a great offensive line, at least in pedigree and potential. They just were decimated by injury last year.
Right.
So let's say that they can be relatively healthy there. I like Mike Glennon, too. I mean, I love him. I don't think he's
I just don't know. You know, it's one of those, I don't know. Is he better than Cutler?
No.
Right, that's what I mean. So, okay, if he's not better than Cutler, but if maybe it's a more conservative offense, because in order to have Cutler, you got to just let him loose. You can't say, oh, we're going to be real conservative. It's just not how he plays the game of football. It's too hard for him to do that. So maybe if they do that with Glennon, we're not going to get crazy and throw the ball all over the place. With that defense, you know, again, you get a couple high draft picks in there, and
I got a little over my skis about a month ago and said they're going to get to double-digit wins. But that's a big jump from a three-win 2016.
See, I'm thinking like 8-8, 9-7.
I think 9-7.
Maybe push for that wild card.
If the season is right, yeah.
If everything breaks right.
They could be in the mix for the wild card. Meantime, I don't know about the Packers, how you really can evaluate them right now. I wonder if Adrian Peterson ultimately lands up there, or somebody like.
I mean, they can't go into the season with Christian Michael, right? Is their starting running back,
or a guy wearing 88?
Yeah, I just can't imagine that being.
And also remember that the Packers, if not for Rodgers' promise that they were going to run the table and then the team coming through on that, it's not like they were consistently great in 2016. I wonder if they might slide back. Then again, you do have the most talented quarterback in the league.
Before the draft, you know, and right. So. Let's see how that breaks with Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. You know, if they can get one of those three, and now it looks, you know, now all these reports are coming out that McCaffrey's, which people said I was crazy when I said, oh man, listen, you put McCaffrey on the Colts, and oh my, you want to talk about a guy that I'm going to prop? People are going to say I'm overdrafting in fantasy, the touches and what he can do with Andrew Luck in that game, and now everyone's saying, oh, he's going to go in the top 10.
What is the book on McCaffrey's pass blocking ability?
It's fine, totally fine. I think the one thing that was that I didn't like, and I can't remember who said it. Oh, you know what? It was when
he didn't play in the bowl game.
Just
you resented that lack of loyalty.
Oh yeah, the to Stanford football. I think it was Marshall Faulk that said it, and who am I to disagree with Marshall Faulk? But he said Reggie Bush because of the return game, and I said that I hate that comparison because it devalues what McCaffrey does in power and how good he is between the tackles and that patience he shows, like your guy Lev Bell. You know, and I don't know how many McCaffrey games I've called, probably 5 or 6. It's so fun. It's like watching Le'Veon Bell, to watch him wait for that hole to open, and then as soon as it's open, bang. And he is through it, and he is rolling.
Schrager reporting that McCaffrey may go in the top 10.
That's what I mean. So
Bears aren't going to be they're not going to.
Oh, no, I was talking about the Packers. I was speaking to the Packers thinking, oh, well, maybe one of these guys slips all the way back to the Packers, and now their running game issue is solved and they get a stud.
There's going to be a nice running back sitting there. There's also word that the Seahawks, the Raiders are now in play, or Joe Mixon's in play for them. I heard your conversation. Oh, that's right. That's where I learned that. I was listening to Matt Money Smith and Petros Papadakis talk about Joe Mixon. So you're on the side, like Cynthia Freeland, no team should draft him.
No. Oh, no. I think someone's going to draft him.
I know somebody is going to.
Oh, if I were running a front office.
Get up on Mount Pius. Go ahead. Look down now.
See, I don't know everything. You know, some people that we talked to at the Combine, you know, and they just said, hey, there's another running back we have more concerns about. You know, and I don't want to put that name out there. Let those teams, not that I'm sharing anything with teams that they don't already know, but I hate putting that on somebody when it's the teams that are doing all the sniffing around
who's
and
sliding.
Finding things.
I know who it is.
Yeah. So when they said, hey,
sliding out there.
For all the people that are talking about Mixon, there's another guy that there's a lot more smoke around that you got to be worried about. And I didn't mean smoke as a pun, by the way. I just meant in terms of.
It sounds good. It sounds like you meant it to be that. You should have just left it a mystery.
Yeah. So. It won't surprise me if he goes in the back end of the first round. I'll just say that. As Petros, who called probably three or four of his Oklahoma games, said, hey, this is a do-everything back at 210 pounds, and he's 240.
He's so 240.
There you go. Figure that out.
All right. So let's right. What next? Are we done here, MVP?
Let's do over-undies.
Over-undies.
Oh, my goodness. How could I forget to do over-undies presented by our new sponsor, MeUndies Money. Have you touched these yet?
I haven't. Let me see.
I want you to touch these.
Ooh.
Are those the softest underpants you've ever handled?
How about that? Oh, and they got pandas.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a nice – what size are these? No, they're too big for me.
You can't fit those around your meager waist.
Yeah, I'm built like a teenage girl, so unfortunately, these be a little too big for me. I need the mediums, but I like the pants.
Let's get
print.
Money. Get money some, you, but money probably.
Very soft.
Briefs. He likes the brief.
You got it.
I think the way I would describe it is a banana hammock. But
do you really go brief?
No. No.
Say it.
I go.
Is there any man under the age of, like, I don't know, 50 who goes the brief at this point?
There are some people that do and swear by it.
Strictly Walter White.
I don't understand. Oh, yeah, Walter White. He's over.
Fruit of the Looms,
Why would – but what is the advantage of the brief?
Now, I do like the boxer brief.
That's what I like. Yeah. That's what this is, a boxer brief.
I can't have just the boxers.
No, I don't like
that
either.
That I can't have.
Too much freedom.
Exactly. It's got to be – you got to be – you know what I'm saying.
I like regulation.
Yes.
In my government and
like
in my
held
underpants.
In place. Like,
all right. So, Over Undy is our new segment here. And
I don't like regulation in my government, by the way. I'm a free-for-all man. Let us figure it out, huh? We're smarter than all of yous up there.
Yeah, maybe
cash and checks.
Sounds like the administration is in a bit of transition. Maybe there's room for Matt
Money-Smith. A bit.
Could sneak in there, maybe. By the way.
In the words of Petros' father, who joins us every week on the show, when I asked him why he...
radio segments.
Why he never got into politics. And before, there was a pause. There was this awkward pause, and Petros said, too many skeletons, right, Dad? Yep, that's right. I do believe that would apply to me as well. How come you never got into politics? Too many skeletons? Yeah. Yeah, too many.
I know some stories, even.
Yeah.
Involving porta-potties in Soldier Field.
Taste of Chicago.
Is that where it was?
It was Taste. Well, that was Soldier Field. I was thinking of I got too many stories. There you go.
Oh, boy.
Too many witnesses. That's
someday,
the key.
I want you here when Handsome Hank shares the police report. He ran afoul of the UK.
Oh, yes. With his mom on the phone, you're going to do that, right? Yeah. I've got to be here that day.
Yeah, money has to come in for that.
Got to.
In the meantime, Tom Brady and his wife want to move to the 12th floor of their new apartment building, which will cost them an extra $12 million. Tom Brady, number 12, TB12.
Yes.
His hat.
He's got that brand.
12. Over undies, 3.5. How many QBs in the NFL currently wear the number 12?
I'm going to go under.
By the way, what's the best number for a quarterback? Coolest number.
I'm going to go 7.
7 is the correct
answer. Yeah, I'm going to go 7.
Yeah, you got Elway, you got Roethlisberger.
Yeah, and that's the image that came into my head was the Orange Crush Elway uniform with that 7 on there.
They also, as I've said before, the reason it's nice if you blur your eyes just a little bit, it looks like an arrow pointed upward. It's aspirational. That's where you're headed. You got 7 on your team? We're going to the stars. Next stop, the moon. You see?
If I were a quarterback, though, I'd go 13.
Because?
Because, hey, middle finger to all you people out there.
There is. It does make a statement.
It's not bad luck for me. It's bad luck for you.
I got you.
That's what I always wore growing up.
That's what makes you a cynic, though, because that proves, as I've said again before, to me, the greatest scene in the great movie, No Country for Old Men, is when Anton Chigurh goes into the old man in the store. And he says heads or tails to the old man. And the man's a sweet man. You can see his disposition is pleasant and positive and nice to the world. And he says heads or tails. You have to call it. And the old man doesn't know. But, of course, his life hangs in the balance if he calls it wrong. The old man says heads.
Yeah.
He lives. Now, I think the Coen brothers were making a statement about if you say heads – and you have a positive – to me, if you say heads, then you feel like – and maybe this is why I didn't want to tell my kids that they should cheat more in dodgeball – is because, you know what, everything comes the right side up, you know? The world always is going to come heads up, you know? That means that you believe in what's going on around you, that the world will treat you right if you treat it right. If you call tails, then everything's ass up. You're a cynic about things. Nothing's going to come the right side up. It's going to be the
tails
butt end.
Tails never fails, yeah.
Shouldn't I be more like, I should call tails more.
My favorite scene, by the way, is the wife. No, I'm not going to call it. It's my favorite exchange. Call it. No. It's the best response. No, but you have to. No. That way I can't be wrong. What are you going to do now? Huh? What are you going to do now?
Many good scenes.
Yeah.
A pit bull chasing somebody in a stream. What a brilliant idea that was. Anywho.
Freaking books, Cormac McCarthy, man.
I never have read a Cormac
McCarthy. Oh, God, they're terrible.
Are they?
Well, they're just it's No Country for Old Men. It's just one bit of bad news after the next. I mean, from the beginning until the end, it's nothing. Read The Road. You really want to be lifted up, huh? Feel good hit of the summer.
McCarthy wrote The Road?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
It's the worst story ever.
Most depressing movies I've ever seen. My goodness, is that a grim tale. Anyhow. Shot in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. So, anywho, over undies, 3.5. How many QBs in the
I said
NFL
under.
Wear the jersey number 12? The correct answer, drum roll. That's a drum roll?
A timpany roll.
It's 5. Wow. When he loses again.
I'm terrible with numbers. You know that. You and I have had this conversation.
Tom Brady, Andrew Luck. Want to see if you can guess anybody else who wears it?
Nah. Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
Yeah.
Paxton Lynch in the one you would never get.
Really? Paxton Lynch? I'm going to get snatched up by Paxton Lynch on this?
I would have won it for you right there if you would have even thought of him.
See, I didn't Ryan include Nassim. Tom Brady, though. That's my bad. I wasn't including him. I was thinking 3.5 more. Truly, I was.
What's done is done. All right. Is that a wrap on the show?
I think so.
You think we've covered more than enough soil here?
Yeah, we still got to get to League of Leagues, but we got time for that.
Yeah, I want to get your expert opinion on that.
Do you want to do this Sherman and Lynch thing? That's probably going to be dated by the next time we get to
it. Sure, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's tackle that. Richard Sherman, rare is the occasion that front office is this forthright about what they're thinking about doing, or is it something to light a fire under Richard Sherman? What's going on here, Money?
That would be my guess, is that...
But he seems in on it.
Yes. Well, that we're always up front with that. But it's Pete Carroll. I mean, anybody that remembers Pete Carroll, I always hear there was so much grab ass. Like, hey, all right, yeah, look at us. We're up front. We're cool with all our guys. We hang out. We tweet at one another. This is all cool. I mean, that's the Pete Carroll model. And John Schneider is obviously part of that.
Put on probation? No, that's not me anymore. That's
anyway.
You.
See you later. Out of here.
Let's hear the sound from John Schneider talking about this issue on the radio up in Seattle.
How would you characterize the last 6 or 7 months with Richard in the relationship with him?
There's very much an openness. What you've seen lately in the news is real. That's on both sides. It's just open communication. He knows what's going on. We know what's going on. I don't know if anything would ever happen. But like I tell people all the time, we're 98% of the deals that we're involved with, we don't follow through with. But at least we've opened that door, gone down the road and seen what's behind, you know, door A or door B, you know.
It's weird. It seems like they've concluded the process.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I do think there is. I think the tirade on the sidelines was not something they're into. I think it's all right. If you want to be brash with the media and with your Twitter feed, that's fine. But when you start attacking an offensive coordinator in the middle of a game, and you're a defensive player, I mean, we know these stories about the offense and the defense. And if you talk to head coaches, they're like, you know, Anthony Lynn, I think, was the one that just said it recently. He said, I got nowhere to go. And he's like, I've always been a position coach, and I would always see the head coach pop his head and be like, get out of here. This isn't, he's like, and now I'm that guy. You know, the defense is the defense, the offense is the offense. So when you're a defender and you cross that line and you enter their territory, I think a team really takes offense to that. Like, hey, you stick with what you do, okay? We're doing what we're going to do over here. And I think that kind of side, you know, I shouldn't say sidetracked. I think it knocked them off track a little bit.
Let's say Richard Sherman is not on the Seahawks this year.
He's now a Patriot.
The Patriots have indicated that they're not going to do it. I assume Malcolm Butler would be a part of the return, right?
So that would be my guess.
So the cupboard wouldn't be bare in the secondary or at the corner spots there. But how damning would it be to their 2017 prospects if Richard Sherman is not a Seahawk?
They wouldn't trade him unless they knew. I mean, it's the deepest cornerback draft that we've seen in a long time. So if they have someone flagged, like, hey, we feel like we can get any one of these four guys here.
Or,
out of Colorado. You got two great corners out of Colorado, out of Washington. I mean, there's a ton of defensive backs in this draft. And if they figure, hey, maybe we can get a high second, you know, if Tennessee is in the market for a corner and they say, well, whatever, we got an extra first. Let's give them our second. Go get Sherman. Get some attitude on this defense. Why wouldn't you do it?
Is Richard Sherman a fit on any on all of the 31 other teams?
I don't think so.
You couldn't just put him on any team. He wouldn't replace probably the toughest lineup for him to crack just looking at would be the Denver Broncos.
Right.
He wouldn't just standardly walk in the door and be like, well, obviously Richard Sherman's got to be one of our top two corners.
Well, I don't mean it that way. I think Sherman's got to be on a winning team. I think if he gets traded to a team that does not win, it can get sideways in a hurry.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's what I'm saying. You can't be the Browns and say, we've got five picks in the top 75. Let's get one up for Richard Sherman. That's not going to go well.
Yeah, he's called out Earl Thomas on the field and called out guys on the sideline. What do you think?
His entire 60 minutes
would be devoted to calling people out.
So that can't happen.
Yeah, but Richard Sherman, though, beyond reproach in terms of talent.
He's phenomenal, right? I mean, you saw the numbers that were floated out. He's the best corner in terms of statistically speaking, QB rating against, big plays allowed. He's been the best the last 5 years. You can't argue with that, you know, at least statistically speaking.
We can go in on Marshawn Lynch, but I don't know what to say. Physiologically, I don't know how his body is right now. I mean, how can you say it? Guys can play into their early 30s.
What about the question I posed yesterday that you heard to Petros? I'll pose it to you. If you're the Raiders and you have a hole in your secondary, you could probably use a corner. There should be a really good one sitting there at 24, and you sign Marshawn Lynch to be your starting running back, and then you can take that corner there. Would you rather have that? Or would you rather have Joe Mixon running the ball with Amari Cooper and Derek Carr and that offensive line? What would you rather have in Oakland?
Well, boy, yeah.
Assuming all the reviews, it's funny,
we had this same conversation basically last week. It's a funny inversion of the quarterback thing in the NFL, which is, well, give me the tenured guy. Give me the 32-year-old guy who's been through the battles. Don't give me the young, talented guy. But in running backs,
give me nice, fresh legs.
Marshawn Lynch has been in Super Bowl. What do I care? That doesn't have any value to me.
Right.
So, yeah.
What do they need more? Is Marshawn Lynch good enough, you know, to fill? Is he better than Latavius Murray? I mean, again, we don't know. Projecting that he's healthy.
I answer it this with the anecdote that is the 2016 Dallas Cowboys. Look at how good they were. If you were to say to the hey, Leonard Fournette's there. If you could just take Leonard Fournette there, right?
Yep. Isn't that then?
Or if you got the same thing, you could get. I just don't know what.
I think Mixon would be the only one that's there. I think Cook. Fournette and McCaffrey will all be gone.
Huh.
And that would be your elite running back that's there.
I'll tell you what I really don't want. Now, I'm not getting up on Mount Pius about it. If I'm that close to a Super Bowl, as the Oakland Raiders would seem to be, I'm not bringing Joe Mixon in. That just seems like, man, what if things blow up in our face with him? What if things get sideways with
that
guy?
You're going from Oakland to Las Vegas. If there are two markets that you know, look at what happened to Kansas City last year.
Yeah.
You know, you think Joe Mixon, like you said, if you want to climb Mount Pius, you better be someone that was railing on Tyreek Hill the entire time he was in Kansas City and not screaming, how did that guy last until the fifth round? Well, because he punched his pregnant girlfriend in the stomach and dragged her down a set of stairs by the throat. I mean, that's why he lasted until the fifth round.
I think it was Bucky Brooks who was in 66 the other day with us who pointed this out, and I thought it was an interesting thought, is you need to go to a Midwest, like a Green Bay or somewhere like that, because there is no trouble to be had there. That's where you – if that's why a team like the Packers should look at Joe Mixon. You cannot drop him into a bad – well, we're using Joe Mixon. I almost said poor Joe Mixon. I guess he kind of deserves it. But any ne'er-do-well, dropping him into Sin City or L.A. or
might
New
be
York
a little
City might be worse, or South Beach for that matter. Anywho, all great stuff. Rangy conversation as always with Matt Money Smith. Make sure you check him out, AM570. Or the iHeartRadio app, track down the show. Thanks to Cynthia Freeland, who, as I predicted, did not make it back. Good job on the mic, MVP.
Yeah, well
you get
done.
A taste for it now?
Thank you so much.
Well done.
You didn't get a taste for it. You still don't like it.
Yep, behind the scenes.
I don't care for
that. No, I think she's just saying that.
Thin slice of heaven.